Hi, everybody. Hi, everybody. Y'all,
Yeah.
we are going to get started. Let me get my little windows all set up for y'all. Need to turn that thing off. It's always asking me this one question, and every single time I just exit out. And if I would just take a hot second, and tell it, never ask me that again, I wouldn't be having any problems. So, all right, we are going to do some coaching today. So, if you need coaching, all you have to do is raise your beautiful little hand here in Zoom and let me know that you would like to get coached. Or if you prefer, you don't want to come on camera and you would love for me to ask questions, answer some questions, all you have to do is type it into the Q&A box. Hang on, I've got like 400 little other windows popping up. Oh God, I swear. I don't know if y'all are like me, but if you have a computer, you probably have 4,000 windows at any given moment. Just open at all times. Okay, so it looks like nobody needs help today. So if y'all would prefer, I could just close this call out right now. And I will go record all the June podcasts that have not been recorded yet. Corinne has plenty to do today. All right, thank you. We got a couple of people throwing themselves down in tribute. Salma, I'll call you up now. We'll get going. Hey,
Hello.
how are
Hey,
you?
Corinne. Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. What do you want coaching on today? Did I say your name right, by the way?
Yeah, that's
Okay, I just want to make
yeah.
sure. I'm terrible at enunciation.
No, same here. So actually, you've coached me back in December. I have joined in November. You coached me in December about my type 1 diabetes and about how like when my blood sugar went high, it like was causing me a lot of anxiety and I would eat. So you coached me on that, and I was also upset that I'm not losing any weight and I'm stuck. So first, I want to say the good news that I've lost 9 pounds so far, which is good because
All
I've
right.
been stuck for like 4 months. But then the last 2 months or so, I started losing finally.
Okay.
And my I've gotten so much better with my relationship with food and like feeling comfortable around it and eating just enough, not over going overboard when I eat something I like. So that's all great. Now what I would want coaching on at this stage, because I want to level up, is it's actually a bit around the Healthify course as well. So I'm as a type 1 diabetic, it's better for me if most of the time I'm eating the healthier foods that are a bit that are, typical, maybe diet foods, or I don't know.
There's nothing called a diet food. I don't know where y'all get this craziness from. Like, tell me one thing that you would say is like, I need to eat the healthier foods that would be considered a diet food. Give me one example.
Like grilled chicken and broccoli.
Grilled chicken is not a diet food. Like, I want to ask you this. Let's say you and I got into a time capsule and we were able to go back to 1750. They're like, running around with horses. They ain't even got power. They've got a fire pit and shit like that to cook on. And you walked in and said, "You're eating chicken? I mean, aren't you kind of worried? That's like diet food." Look at you like you had fucking flowers growing out your head. They'd be like, "What is wrong with you? This is called staples. This is called nobody better eat my chickens." Like, precious commodity is what it's called. So, like, you want to make sure that what you're not going to do is villainize. Like, it's so easy for us to villain. Like, you look at corn chips and Cheetos and ding dongs and stuff like that. We're like, oh my God, it's the bad foods. We do the same thing with chicken, lettuce, rice. That's called basic staples. I mean, even 100, what year are we in? 2020, 1926, people would have killed. Right before the Depression, people were killing for a chicken, murdering people to get a chicken because they had no money.
You're
And
right. Yeah,
then
no.
today we're like, whoo, off, shouldn't be chicken and vegetables. That would make me a dieter. No, it makes you healthy.
See, that's the so okay, I agree it's completely irrational, and especially when you put it that way, it's actually like the foods of the kings back then. But
Yeah, like a king would have been like, yeah, I live on chicken. Aren't you jealous? You're just like, oh my
Exactly.
God, I don't want to be eating chicken. I could be considered a dieter.
Right. Okay. So that's I completely agree. But the thing is with me, because maybe as a type 1 diabetic, and especially from a very young age, I was diagnosed when I was like, I don't know, 15. But before then, my mom was also putting me on a diet because I was a little bit overweight. So I've always felt this restriction, especially when I became a diabetic. More stuff were being restricted. So even though I know that this food is actually good for me, I actually like it sometimes. I like healthy foods. Just there's something mentally there when I feel like I have to eat mostly just that feels restricted and feels like maybe I'm not normal, like every like
Well,
why.
that's what I'm like. If you think I'm not normal, that I have to, and you're saying like, I'm not normal because I have to eat this way, that will lead you to feel restricted. Now, let me just give you another sentence, and you may not believe it, but I just want you to see how different you would feel. I eat this way because it's really good for me. It's what works in my body. It actually helps me the best with my type 1 diabetes. And I'm going to give you a really stretchy unicorn thought here that I would love for you to work towards believing one day. I'm really lucky to have type 1 diabetes because it puts me in a position to have to take care of myself more than most people. There's a lot of people out there that ain't got no type 1 diabetes who eat like bullshit because for like 30, 40 years and nothing really happens until all of a sudden I've got cancer and I've got diabetes. All of a sudden that like, you hit your 50s and 60s, you walk into the doctor and they're like, "Welcome, Frank, train wreck. You ate because you didn't think it was like it didn't matter to you at all for years and years and years, and now you have to pay your piper." Whereas you're young. Now, I'm not saying that I don't like, I just think that if you have like, well, not if you have type 1 diabetes, the best way for you to not feel restricted is for you to stop thinking of it as a bad thing. Because I think that's more at the root of it, is that you don't have a healthy relationship with your diabetes. It's like this thing that takes food away from me. Instead of
To
this,
a degree.
my medical diagnosis, and it's going to help me figure out a great relationship with food. And it's going to give me a leg up on a lot of people who they don't have a motivation to eat better. They're going to catch it when it's too late, not me.
No, that's a mindset shift that I would love to be able to adopt.
It takes time. I'm sure your next question is, well, how do you do that? You have to repeat that story as much as the story you're telling yourself now. Every time you say, I have to eat this way, you have to dead stop and say, like, whoops, no, that's not true. The truth is, I want to eat this way because it makes me feel better. I want to eat this way because it's what works with my body. And I mean, every time you hear it, you got to be willing to tell the other side. The only reason why you believe your shit right now is because you've not been thinking about it in any different way. Like, I just want all of you to think about this. I've been thinking about this a lot in terms of like, how do we switch our thoughts? That's the one question y'all give me all the time. Well, how do I start thinking like that? It's like it takes time. So I watch a lot. Don't think I'm crazy. I watch an exorbitant amount of shows about the FBI, the CIA. Like somebody's always being held, serial killer shit. I'm gonna watch it. I love it. Like it's just like, ugh. And when somebody Like I was watching, I think it was the FBI series the other day. There was a little girl who was kidnapped at like the age of, no, it was on Chicago PD. A little girl was kidnapped and she was like 7 years old when she was taken from her family. And she lived with this man for like 18 years. And her sister finally find just believed the whole time that she wasn't dead, that somebody had gotten her and kept her. So he's pimping her out. For the first while, he was her dad. Then all of a sudden, it was his her husband. It was just this awful, awful story. When her sister found her, the girl would not believe that she was her sister. She believed he that there was never a family. They were all dead, and they didn't want her. Even though for the first 7 years of her life, she lived with them and knew them. But because she'd spent 18 years hearing they were a bunch of shit who abandoned her and he was the only person in the world that loved her, no one else did. Even when she was going to be rescued from him, she wouldn't go. Our mind, literally, I know that's an extreme example, but it really shows we believe what we're told. Over and over and over again. Just like when you're growing up, if your mother tells you you'll be fat the rest of your life, you will just believe you will be fat the rest of your life. If your mother tells you your entire life, I love you just like you are, please never change. You will always just be whoever you are. So,
Completely different outcome.
yeah. So the only way we ever change how we think and what we believe is we have to find first what is it that we currently believe, which for you, what do you currently believe about your, well, we found one thought about foods. What was the thought you had about the healthy foods? Like it's not fair, or what is it that leads you to restriction?
That I like, it's not really a choice. Like, I have to eat this way in order to keep my.
Right. So that's going to lead to your restriction. So when you think of healthy foods, it's not a choice. I have to eat this way. Now, if you keep telling yourself that, it will always feel restrictive and you will come up with like weird scenarios where chicken, like shit, a third world country would kill for. Can you imagine if you went to a third world country and you're like, let's not eat chicken and stuff? I mean, ooh. We don't want to
I
be
am in a
considered
third world
rioters.
country, by
Yes.
the way.
I mean, like,
I'm
if
from
you
Egypt.
marched around and you were just like, we shouldn't be eating, chickens and stuff, people would be like, are you drunk? Like, what is wrong with you? Okay. Now,
True.
if every single time you hear that thought come up, I don't have a choice. And you say, like, no, I actually do. I could choose to eat anything and make my diabetes worse. A lot of people do it all the time.
And I
There, my
actually did that
grandmother,
sometimes.
yes, my own grandmother had type 2 diabetes, and they begged her for years to stop eating sweets because she was at a point where there was no amount of insulin anymore that was controlling her stuff. She ended up pancreatic cancer and dying. She just run that pancreas right into the ground because she liked fried peach pies, and like she just wanted to eat her sweets all the time. So we hear that and we say, you have to tell yourself the truth and say, like, no, girl, the truth is, I do have a choice. I might not always like eating chicken and stuff. I might want to eat other things at times, but this is no one's forcing me to do this. I'm just choosing to because I've got type 1 diabetes. And now, what was the second half? I have to eat this way. I don't have a choice. I have to eat this way. Every time you say it, you've got to tell yourself, no, I choose to eat this way. I even choose to eat this way when I'd rather have something else. There are times, like, I think it's just very, it's easier to tell your, to change your thoughts when you can tell yourself something really believable, which is sometimes there's two things true at once. It's very true that you will choose to eat chicken. It's also very true that it feels restrictive only if I'm telling myself I have to. Like if you just start there, like it's not restrictive. It feels restrictive when I'm thinking I have to. and I don't have to do it.
Okay, and then, but what if in the moment, like the urge for something sweet, for example, is like very strong, because I've planned to only eat, for example, just the chicken and broccoli or whatever, and I'm feeling like, but I'm not gonna have that dessert. Like I feel like I really want that. Like, how can I negotiate when the urge is very strong?
There's a couple of things that you can do, but why is the urge being strong a problem for you is my first thought.
Because I don't like, I guess I am, well, but this, I don't want the discomfort of having to sit through the urge,
Why?
and not act on it.
Like what is so awful about your urge that you're just like, Corinne, you got a Calgon and take me away from this, because like I can't, you do it. I don't probably even know what that means. Look how young you are. Right. Gen Z and on up. We all know the Calgon reference is hilarious. And she's just like, completely. You needed to watch TV in the 70s and 80s to get that reference. All right. So, what is it about that moment that's so terrible that you're like, Corinne, we need to make this go away because I can't even sit through it.
It's physically uncomfortable. Like
Like how?
it's like I want to do something, like I can't sit still, like I want to get up and get that dessert. I don't know what to call it. Tense.
Yeah,
Can't
like
stay still.
so describe it in your body. Like, so are you, so we know you want to get up. What else is going on inside your body?
I guess like an itch it's actually hard to describe. Just not feeling comfortable in my own skin. I don't know how to call it.
This is the first thing that you're going to need to do. And this is very important for everybody listening. I asked that question on purpose before I tell you what to do, because most of you can actually sit through your urges, but you're not allowing your urge. You are sitting in your head, arguing with it, making all kinds of other feelings come up. And you're not actually taking the time to see, what am I physically experiencing? So when we have an urge is just a feeling that comes over us. So I want to eat, like I want some candy or I want some dessert or whatever. And you now have an urge which is manifesting in some physical sensations. So it could, like for me, when I have an urge, I can put my hand on my heart and I can tell it's running a little faster than usual. My mouth waters. I start that almost always. I'll be just hot footing it. I mean, my left foot will just be tapping away. I don't know why it's my left foot. It's always my left, and I'm very right-handed. It's like the one thing that, and I shoot pool left-handed too, which is Chris just laughs his ass off because he's like, "You're so weird about that." But I tap my foot a lot. That is literally all that ever goes on for me. Now that I know that that's the only thing happening, I can be patient with it and be like, okay, this is what an urge is. What y'all experience is, oh my God, this sucks. I just want it so bad. I hate feeling like this. And you don't even know how you feel. You're feeling deprivation and rage and anger. Like all you're doing is thinking about eating and thinking a lot of awful shit about it. And you're not taking a breath and saying, like, I want to be with this urge for 5 minutes. And so for the next 5 minutes, I'm not going to think about the urge. I'm going to literally do what we call the body scan. And you start at the top of the head and you go all the way down the toes and you do it two or three times if you need to, so that you can really tell yourself, this is what an urge feels like. It doesn't feel like your description, which is, well, Corinne, it just sucks. I don't like discomfort. I hate it. It's like, I don't even know. All I know is I just want to go and get something. It's like, until we, like, it's a really important part of being able to untangle urges because so many of us never have experienced the actual physical sensations of it. And when you do that, there's like two magic things that happen. Number one is you grow your ability to have physical discomfort from a feeling to the point where it doesn't bother you as much. Like now I can get pretty fucking angry without losing my temper because I have like done body scans on anger for so long that now I can be really angry before I erupt. I used to, the first little whiff of anger, and I like the first flush in my face, it was like, I've got to erupt right now. I got to fix this. I can't, like, they should never say stuff like that to me. And they need to be just as, angry as I am. If I'm angry, everybody's got to be angry. I was feeling all that. I wasn't really taking into consideration, like, when I get angry, what happens? And when I really realized that the worst that really happens is I get flushed in the face. My heart beats really hard. I get like almost like I can't breathe. Once I figured that out, I was like, oh, I don't have to fix this. That ain't that bad. It
Wow.
has saved me a million arguments with my husband just being able to do that. So, like, the very, like, so you grow your capacity to be able to experience an urge because once you start seeing an urge is not a bad thing, it is like it's mouth-watering, it's heart racing, it's foot tapping. That's very different than it's just so uncomfortable, I can't stand it. Okay, so that's like the first thing that when you watch an urge that happens. The second thing is that when you go through the process of watching an urge, guess what your mind's not thinking about?
The food there.
Yeah. So the
Yeah.
brain is dumb as a rock. Okay. If you give it something to focus on, it all of a sudden wants to focus on it. It's not really good at multitasking in your head. And so when you're like, we're going to do a body scan. Now you might have intrusive thoughts. You might have like food thoughts come in. And all you do is just like, hey, I will decide about eating or I will eat, but not until I've done this first. And the more you do that, you establish the habit of an urge being a body scan first, and you establish the habit of an urge being something you wait before you respond, and you d establish the habit of, I don't argue with urges anymore. I don't say they shouldn't be here. I don't think that they have to be taken care of anymore. Like all of that gets deconditioned. So then they become like just a normal experience most people would have. It's just like, when Chris has an urge to eat something and he's not going to have it, he's just like, well, that's not a big deal. I don't have to have everything out. Like for him, it's like, I don't have to have everything I want.
Well, this is so enlightening because I thought I knew what it felt like, but when you asked me, I couldn't really answer. So, okay, I understand now. I haven't really taken the time to know how it feels like when the urge comes, and even if it feels really bad, like, okay, I don't know. I'm thinking of the future. What if I do a body scan and it like feels very uncomfortable, even though I'm aware of what's happening. Does it just go away after a while, or like what is expect what should I expect to happen that after I do the body scan?
We don't really know. For some people, a body scan is about all you need, at least 50 to 60% of the time. Like we've just never given them a chance. We're just so quick to eat, and we're just so quick to think that urges feel ter urges must like I bet 90% of these bitches in here, if I ask them to describe physically exactly, and they were willing to put their house and their child's, future on the line, that they're accurate in their description, I wouldn't get many takers. Now, some of them, they do work on this and are very in tune to their body, but most of us just aren't paying that close attention to what goes on inside of us. We pay so much attention to what goes on in the head, we forget that the head is a very small percentage of the body. I mean, just me. If I stand up, y'all, like the head is this big, and then there's the rest of us, and the rest of your body is very telling. It's going to give you lots and lots of information. Now, 50, 60% of the time, that can work. The reason why it doesn't work all the time is if the reason why you want something sweet is tied up emotionally. And I think some of yours is. And here's why. I think yours gets tied up emotionally strictly from the shitty relationship you have with your diabetes and healthy food. Of course, your body is like, so unfair. We have to eat chicken and broccoli. This sucks. We've been so good. Maybe we should have something sweet would be so good. Everybody else gets to eat it. Why don't we get to eat it? I mean, it's just like when we think that you eating healthy is a bad thing that's happening to you, or this unfair thing that happens to you, it would be very natural for your brain to say, like, oh, well, I don't want you to feel like restricted and unfair. Let me just send up some urges for desserts. Let me rescue you. You shouldn't have to feel that way. It's like our brain is trying to do you a solid. It's just like, but you're trying to do me a favor from a mistake I'm making in my thinking to begin with. And so if we get that cleaned up, you might see that you don't want sweets as often, because right now I believe, and I could be wrong, you tell me if I'm wrong, but some of that sweet desire is coming from you feel like it's unfair that you have to eat the way you do, that you don't have a choice in it. And it's like you're trying to take your power back by eating some dessert. I'll show you.
Oh yeah, that taking my power back is so the right phrase. Yeah, feeling like, you know what, type 1 diabetes didn't stop me from eating what I want. I can still eat what I want. And it's a good way, like, to think about it that way, but then I can't do it all the time. I need to
Right.
risk, like, yeah, I need
Well, and
to.
you're not taking any power back. The crappy thing is that it feels like you're taking control. It's like, I feel like this is happening to me instead of, this is just me. I am Salma. I have type 1 diabetes. I also have, black hair. Like, if you made it as boring as the color of your hair and the color of your eyes, you wouldn't have this other reaction where your brain is trying to rescue you from this grave injustice being done to you day in and day out with your type 1 diabetes and how you have to eat. And so
I just
I
want
would
to say, like, I don't have that bad of a relationship with the type 1 diabetes. Like, I'm grateful. I could have had way worse stuff. Type 1 diabetes is something I could live with. There's medicine, so it's fine. But yeah, there's a little bit of unhealthy
Yeah, we'll clean
relationship
up the
there.
parts where it's taking things from you. And it's not taking anything away from you. It's all a choice still. You are still in total control. You can choose not to eat the way you need to. You can choose to eat the way you need to, but it's always your choice. And I think that I was going to tell you might want to go back to the emotional eating course. I'm not sure which one of the lessons it is, but there's a lesson on the rebel eater. And you said, like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, I'm kind of taking my power back, or I'll show you. That's what the rebel eater does. The rebel eater, when they feel powerless in a situation like, I have to eat this way, I don't have a choice, they take their power back in food. So they say, like, well, I'll show you. See, I really do have control. This is really, you can't do that to me. And the way to take the control is not by eating. The way to take control is to find, like, where am I giving up my control? And you're giving it up in the way you talk about the way you eat. So we talk about it more powerfully, then you don't feel like you have, your brain is no longer going to feel the need to rescue you.
Karen, I love this. Thank you so much. This coaching is going to be amazing for me I mean, there's already amazing for me as a type 1 diabetic, and I can't wait to apply this. I was going to go the route of, well, let's include something sweet ev like every day just to not have to deal with the urge, but now I want to try not including it and see what the urge feels like and see and like prove that I can still not eat even if the urge comes. So thank you for
That's
that.
the best. I think you've made the best choice. When I encourage someone to plan these foods, it's when it's really coming from a place of they're actually afraid of those foods, or They're so steeped in the emotional eating, and they're so steeped in the habit that they literally, we've got to get it so clinical, like we're just going to plan it, but we need to follow the plan. You know, like we've got to break it down a little bit at a time. You're way beyond that. Like you are so beyond that. Yours is more like you're gonna find ultimate relief so much faster by not planning it and saying like, no, I'm fundamentally changing my relationship with the way that I talk about this. Like I want to feel like one powerful little motherfucker in this situation. And I think planning it would just kind of give in to the idea that, you know, oh, I need these things because it's so unfair over here, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. I can't wait to try that. And hopefully in the future I'll get on here again and tell you how much I've gotten better at this.
Oh,
Thank you
yeah.
so much.
You're
Thank
welcome. Bye-bye.
you. Bye-bye.
I'm going to answer a couple of questions real quick before I bring up the next person. For all of you, if you haven't, like, now I know some of you are newer, so you haven't gotten to this portion of No BS yet. So all of these courses, they get unlocked at a different time. You're coming up and down so fast, I can't take you down, but maybe you figured it out. The emotional eating course. So, like when you join No BS, first thing we have you do is go through, of course, the No BS foundations, the No BS course itself. The next one that everybody goes through is the emotional eating course. It is a really good course to introduce you to the idea of like what is emotional eating, the various types of eaters that we are. There's the rebel eater, transition eater. If you'll stay up for just a second, I can take you down. There we go. Thank you. There is the FOMO eater. There's the nighttime eater, the weekend eater. There's like all these different types, like archetypes of overeaters. And they all have like a very, like a little unique flavor of why this eater exists inside of you. It's like this eater exists inside of me because it needs this need met, or this need is not being met. Now, I just want to say this for everyone. If you haven't taken that course in a long time, but you know you're still emotionally eating, please go back to it and do it again. Every single time you listen to one of these, like, you know, these foundational courses, especially if you listen to it again after a few months, when you've worked on a few things, you change slightly. And so then when you listen to it again, you hear things in a slightly new way. That's going to just keep moving you down the road. So I would encourage anybody that's still like, you know, emotional eating is like the big thing for me. I found that when I was losing weight, I didn't know about all these different types of eaters and have a name for them and a course and somebody explaining all of it to me. But every single time that I was like doing things, when I kind of figured out why I was doing something, it was so much easier for me to fix things. When I didn't know why I was doing something, it just frustrated me. And I had, like, I want you to think about how your brain is designed. Okay. The brain is designed to fill in the gaps, it's a storyteller. Our brains work in stories. So if you see this book on my desk, you're not just going to go, like, book, beige. Like, that's not how our brain thinks. It's like, oh, look at that book Corinne's holding up. I wonder who wrote it. I wonder why she's got it on her desk. Is that the next book that she's going to be recommending we all read? Like, your brain automatically will just start storytelling really quick. It's trying to figure out, like, why is that book sitting there? So, when you are, like, let's say overeating and you don't know why, your brain will answer the question. And this is how it typically answers it. Well, you're too old to lose weight. Oh, I'll tell you why. Because you're some broken motherfucker. Oh, it's because you're addicted to food. Well, I'll tell you why. You're some lazy fat ass with no willpower and you don't have any discipline. You never try hard enough. Oh, I know why. You don't want it bad enough. You must not want to lose weight anymore. Our brain will fill the hole in with stupid shit all day long. Things that people have told us in the past, stuff we've seen in a movie that's explained why somebody's overeating. Like, think about most of us now, not Salma. But a lot of us, we lived through The Biggest Loser. Think about all the shows that we watched, like in the 90s and stuff. And those trainers were telling those people all kinds of reasons why they were eating. And it was usually like they're lazy, you don't have your shit together, you're gonna need more willpower. Like they were just telling them all kinds of hooey. Well, we hear all that. And we might be going like, huh, rude. Like, I mean, we might not even like what we heard, but we cataloged it. So then when we're filling in the story of like, I just don't know why I do so good all day long and then I blow it at night, the next thing you know, your brain is off to the races of like, I know why. You're a lazy motherfucker. You don't want to lose weight bad enough. You're just wasting time and money left and right trying to lose weight. That's why. And it will make sense to us because our brain just wants an answer. It does not care if the answer is even right. That is the part that you're learning here in No BS is that our job is to not just let whatever shit we've heard in the past that is stored in that habit brain that doesn't do a lot of thinking. It's just like, its just job is just to throw up any answer it can, and it just likes to see what sticks. You have a logical brain too. This is the part we don't tap into enough with our life. Now we use it when we're trying to figure out a puzzle, when we're at work, we got a new project. Like we use our logical brain in those situations. But most people don't realize to use their logical brain on figuring out shit going on in their life. So if I'm eating at night and I don't know why, I want to find the real reason. And so when you go through the emotional eating course, there will be all these different little archetypes. And what I found is I was all of them to some degree. Some were the ones that were stronger in me. Some, they happened sometimes. Some were infrequent, but I could find areas where they did happen. But I was all of them. And if I had to guess, most women are all of them. We have just been very conditioned through life. I mean, the reason why there's like, I think I boiled it down to eight. There's actually nine, but two of them are so similar. Just to make sure to save y'all time, I just combined them in one category, which is the transition eater and the person who's like the witching hour. They're so similar that I put them together. So when you know what the real problem is, so for example, let's say you're the transition eater. When you come home from work, there's like a hour between when or 20 minutes for some of you. You walk in the door, and before you start cooking dinner, and before you start doing the homework, and before you start doing all the stuff, guess what? There's like this lull. And so you kind of come off the high of the day and you dip really low, but you've got to get amped back up because second shift is starting. And it won't be long before kids are walking in the door, or homework's got to get started, dinner's got to get started, dishes have got to get done, shit for tomorrow's got to get laid out, all that. And for a lot of women, when they dip really low, they eat again to get ready for the night, and it blows their day. So when you know why you're eating, then we know, all right, where do we need to start and what do we need to fix so that we can fill in those emotional gaps? Then stopping at enough and eating when you're hungry and stuff, all of that gets exponentially easier. All of you are here because you're not someone who's going to lose weight following a diet. You've already tried a million of them. You've already tried Weight Watchers, you've tried Noom, you've tried keto, you've tried boot camps with a little menu thrown out by the 20-year-old trainer. You've tried like that Anytime Fitness I go to. Oh my God, they start a series every 6 weeks. And I watch them with them ladies. And they hand them their menu and they kick their ass 3 days a week in the gym. And none of them ever lose an ounce of weight. Ever. And every single one of them women, every 6 weeks. I've been watching this one woman. She's like on her fifth round. She's not changed a lick. And she pays $199 every 6 weeks. I guess for the glory of somebody kicking her ass 3 days a week. And I've listened, I work out in that area when they're lifting, and I listen to them. And there ain't no emotional work going on. Not a lick. You're here because that shit don't work for you. You're here because you know, like, yeah, I eat for reasons. I'm ready to fix my reasons. I want a better life and I want to lose my weight. I'm sick and tired of having emotional needs going unmet except through food. Because it works for a while, and then at some point, it's no longer work. It's barely band-aiding you through life now. So somebody asked, is the emotional eating course available for new people? No, you have to go through the NoBS course first. The emotional eating course will not make sense until we've installed the basics. Because what happens is with the basics, we do those so that we can get a roadmap of what works for you and what doesn't. We get a roadmap of why you're eating. Like, I'm blowing past enough at these times. It's usually around these feelings. It's usually this stuff. Like when we do the basics and we get in the habit of doing them, not right, but just getting in the habit of trying to ask the questions and whatnot, then we get the roadmap for emotional eating. Then you take what you learn by doing the basics to the next section, which is now we got to figure out, like, all right, when you are 50% on being able to stop at enough, now this will explain why you're at 50%. But we need to get that done first. Otherwise, that course makes no sense. It's not going to be nearly as helpful. Okay. Are you going to do more calls? I miss hearing you on 365. You should be hearing me on the 365. I record them. So the 365 is still happening every single day. The only thing we changed for this year was we. Let's see, there's Kathy has a day, MJ has a day, and Lizzie has a day. And we wanted to do that specifically so that you have somebody who's taking care of your goals and your planning. And we have somebody taking care of your nervous system, which is Kathy. And then who doesn't want to hear from MJ? Let's just be honest. Everybody wants to hear from MJ, but everything else is me. So you've got four of them every single, you've got literally four of those every single week. Plus, I just gave y'all an entire, there was 36, and I know how many videos, bitches, because I had to record all 36 videos. That's not easy. You just got the Healthify dropped on you. There's some new exciting things getting ready to drop that y'all are gonna, July, y'all are gonna shit your pants. I can't, God, I'm debating on whether or not I can even tell y'all. I don't even know if we've told y'all what's coming in July, but before this call's over, I will go ask Chris if I can actually make this quote. So I probably will anyway. You also get 2 hours with me every Sunday. Now, I want to be really honest. In the summers, just like in June, there will be 2 Sundays I'm out. I was out 2 Sundays in May. July will only be out one. And I think in August, I'm out 1 or 2 Sundays. But I take all of my vacations in the summer. I don't take vacation the rest of the year. So once basically October hits, October through the 1st of April, I mean, I might miss 1 or 2 Sundays. I do almost every Sunday live. So you have that also. So, but yeah, if you're just Lucy, if you'll just write in to support, I'm just afraid you're not getting the 365s at all because we are uploading them every day. There is a new one every single day. And new people, you will get that when you are done. Healthify has started. It's already on the website. You should be able to find it in this month in NoBS. That is for all of our members who are not in their initial phases. So I keep hearing how pork is not healthy to eat because they eat everything and anything like scavengers, and it goes right into their body meat in a short time, unlike animals that digest food through the stomach process. I am just so curious. I eat pork all the goddamn time, so I hope it's all right. I mean, I have never heard that. I don't know where that came from. If you want to do some deep cuts research on pork, go right for it. But I mean, I'm just going to tell y'all right now, there is a lot of stuff out there. If you are very particular about stuff, then yes, you should probably go and do your research and do all that kind of junk. But I'm just going to tell you right now, what's your opinion? But for body, healthy body, I eat pork. I mean, goddamn, I eat pork literally 3 times a week at least. I eat bacon. I love bacon. Love bacon. Every time me and Logan go to First Watch, I get bacon soft. I don't even let them cook it hard. Chris likes his crispy. I don't like it crispy. I'm like, why would you ever want to eat something that's like going to turn to dust in your mouth? That just makes no sense to me. I like mine all wiggly and whatnot. We get a pork roast usually once every couple of weeks. I don't know. I just eat it. So that, I mean, that's my opinion. And I seem to be doing just fine. Can we apply the body scan to anger with our spouse and other triggers? Where can I find body scan info on the website? Yeah, you can do body scans for everything. Jackie, if you will just go to the website, go to the blue question mark and ask them for where are our resources on body scans? I think they're in baked into some of the courses. Probably, I'm not sure which ones. There may even be somebody in the chat who will know, but it's baked into several courses, the body scan. It's real simple to do though. In fact, a couple of camps we've done body scans and we have given y'all those courses, but it's super simple. Sit down in a chair, like just get on your ass, sit in a chair. Take a big deep breath and close your eyes. You start at the top of your head and you go, what does the top of my head feel like? Then you go to your forehead, then you go to your eyebrows, then your eyes, then your ears, then your cheeks, your mouth, your throat, shoulders. You just literally check in and you don't want to move to another section of your body until you either like, I'm not feeling anything there, or I notice something. And all you're doing is you're saying, I notice, I notice, I notice over and over again. Some people do it with their, I do mine with my eyes shut. And then next, I write down anything I remember. Doesn't have to be totally exact. The whole purpose of it is to get you used to when you feel something like anger, that you turn to checking in how you're physically feeling first to let some of the initial emotion dissipate. As you do a body scan, they usually take anywhere from, depends on how long you want to sit with it. They can take 90 seconds. It can take 5 minutes. It's however long you want to do it. For me, I do a scan a couple of times. And then what it does is it makes, so the way a feeling works is you have a thought in your head. He shouldn't have done that. He was wrong. That was unfair. Whatever it is that your thought about your husband, all right? That thought creates an emotion in your brain. So anger, frustration, annoyance, whatever it is, right? And that emotion has its own set of physical sensations that come along for the ride. So every emotion has a unique set of its own physical sensations that it will create in your body. That is all a feeling is. Now, when I have people define feelings like, well, they suck, they're too much for me, I can't handle them, they're this, they're that. We have a lot of thoughts about our feelings and emotions, but most of us have never actually gotten our feelings down to a factual science. And it's very powerful because the more that you teach your brain that the way you like when you have an emotion, that it's literally just a chemical cocktail going through your body. And that's all it is. It really is. So when I used to liken it this way, y'all used to love this description. Think of your brain, it's like there's a little bartender in there. He's in the back. And when you have a thought, it's like you'll have a thought, and it's like, I am now ordering from the bartender anger. The bartender's like, I've got you. When you have anger, what you really mean is you want a shot of piss warm fireball. And he's like, over here, pouring you a shot of fireballs. Like, here you go. And you take it down. And then when the bartender hands you your fireball, your anger, it's got adrenaline and cortisol. Like, it's got different types of chemicals that your brain releases, and those flood the body. And when they flood the body, physical sensations erupt. So like when I'm angry, my face is going to get flushed. I'm going to feel hot. I'm going to feel like my chest is about to explode because my heart will just get going. It's like I'm running a race, and I usually even get a little sweat behind my neck. I will start sweating. My pits will get hot too. And that's all it is. Now, when the bartender serves up Fireball, a feeling can only last in the body. Those chemicals, they have about a 90-second shelf life. And then they dissipate. The problem is that when we don't do a body scan, we're like, he sucks. He shouldn't have done that. And then we feel angry. And then we think other angry things, like, he's always been this way. He'll never stop doing this. I don't care how many times I ask, he's always going to do this. So we're just like dogpiling more thoughts, more thoughts, more thoughts. And every one of them has got anger and frustration and annoyance and sadness and a million different things. And our body is just getting like, just imagine if you went to the bar and you were just like, anger, fireball, annoyance, fireball, and you were just doing it. Like you were just taking shots down one at a time, but every 5 seconds. And you did that for like 3 hours. Y'all wonder why you have such an emotional hangover. Well, this is why we end up eating, because we've got all these things just like coming at us. So when you get really good at like, I am pissed, so I am going to do a body scan, and you leave the room. And you go take a few deep breaths and you tell yourself, I'm gonna find this anger in my body. It allows you to interrupt the bombardment of all the thoughts. Because, like I said, when the brain starts thinking, now I gotta do a body scan, I can't be thinking about asshat. Now it'll try to come in and you say, like, look, we can be angry in a little bit. Right now, I'm really focused on taking care of me. I want to know what anger feels like in my body. Usually, by the time you're done doing the body scan, what you will find will happen is it's not that you're not mad anymore, but you have perspective. You have a little bit of space to breathe so that you can decide, do I want to actually go yell at him, stomp my feet, slam doors, and do all the things I would normally do? Do I want to go eat chips because I get really pissed, but I know that if I yell, it makes things worse and I can't tell him I'm pissed, so I'm going to eat angry chips as if I'll show you, see how pissed I am? I'm over here eating chips. Or do I want to journal, go to ask coaches, take a walk, leave the house for an hour, put some space between me and him so I can calm my ass down, whatever it is. It gives you choice. And the better we get at dealing with our feelings that way, we just eat a lot less. We start figuring out why we're so upset. We start figuring out, do we need to speak to somebody about it? But we handle our emotions in such a more effective way for ourselves, not for them, but just for us. Less damage to us, less venom for us. It's not ever like excusing other people's behavior. You're just like, Chris does some douchey stuff every now and then. He's a great dude, but I'm gonna tell you right now, he ain't perfect. And I've noticed that when I do more of this work, when I go to him about something that I'm actually upset about, I can go talk to him about it when I'm not in my angry state, where I'm just trying to hurt him and rile him up. When I react to anger, my goal is always really simple. You need to be as pissed and feeling as bad as me. If I have to be bad, if I have to feel bad, we all gonna feel bad. And I got that from my mother. I don't like being that person anymore. I don't want to intentionally hurt people because even when everybody's pissed, well, then now I'm just pissed with them. And then I'm extra pissed because they're probably now saying shit, more shit that's going to piss me off. So what I learned a long time ago is, number one, I leave when I now know what anger feels like, and I always leave. And then I do a body scan and I take some deep breaths And I think about what is best for me right now. Rarely has it been go yell and make a scene. It's usually been you need to talk to your best friend, or you need to write about this. You need to tell yourself all the reasons why you're upset, and you need to figure out what you're really upset about so that when you talk to Chris, you actually can solve the real issue. Very often, like when I'm mad at Chris, it has nothing to do with something he's actually done. It's I make it mean you don't love me. And when I go talk to him and say, "Hey, I just want to let you know I'm just not feeling real loved right now. That's what's really got me upset. I'm actually really scared about this thing, and when I ask for it and you don't do it, I get so scared that I start thinking you don't love me, and anger is a really good way for me to not be so scared." And usually we can have a really good conversation then, because he always says, like, "Kryn, I'm not doing that because I don't love you." And a lot of times he'll say, like, "The reason why I haven't done it is," like, he'll show me the other 40 things he's working on, or he'll just say, "I forgot," or he like this last week he dead dropped something that was really important to work on something for me, because I'm the boss. And he said, "I didn't know it was bothering you this much. I really didn't know that you were so worried and so upset on the inside. But I can get this done today. Let me just stop working on this other stuff." And so that was so much more productive than me just slamming doors and making a big scene and hoping that he works on the thing that I wanted him to work on. That used to be the way I handled stuff all the time. Very ineffectual. That required him to read my mind. It required him to know what was going on inside of me. And y'all are like me. I think y'all think you're real obvious about what your needs are. Most of you aren't. You're a big ass chameleon. You're a big ass liar. You put on a false front most of the time. People really don't know what you want. They really don't know what ticks you off and stuff, because you just blow up every now and then. But most of the time, you're taking it in the ass. So they don't know. So I hope that helps. When you recognize yourself as many or all of them, where do you start? Whichever one that sounds good, there's no right or wrong one. It won't matter where you start. You literally, like, here, I'll give you two choices. Choice number one, read all the ones and say, like, all right, which one feels like the one I would want to work on first? Because it could be you want to work on one because it's the easiest. It could be you want to work on one because it's the one that makes the most sense right now. It could be the one because it's the biggest fire in the room right now. It could be the one with the biggest impact. Who knows? You need to go by what you feel would be like, this one is calling my name. Because when you work on the key is not to pick the right one. The key is to start working on one, because as you work on it, you build the skill to be able to do the next one faster, because you'll prove that it's solvable. You'll prove that it's easier than you thought. It's not as hard as you thought. It's not as scary as you thought. Like, there will be all these things. I used to talk about Jenga towers. It's like your emotional eating is like a Jenga tower right now. And some of you are afraid to work on it, because your Jenga tower is like full of like fear. What will I discover about myself? What does this mean about me? Like, you have all the shit. Well, when you decide to finally just work on one and you start doing it, you'll pull out a square or a block that'll be like, this is going to reveal horrible things about you. When you work on it, you realize it doesn't reveal horrible things about you. Then you'll pull one out that's where the thought was, this will take forever. Well, it takes 3 weeks. So now that's gone. And then, like, there'll be these other things that you think working on your emotional eating is all about that suck. And eventually, you'll pull enough to where the whole Jenga tower has to fall. So now, because you worked on one and you got through all that yucky stuff, when you go to the next one, none of that has to be dealt with again. Now we're just untangling this one. So every one of them, you get better and faster at it. So just start with where it feels good. If you can't do that, Then I would write all of them down on a piece of paper. I would close my eyes. I would spin my arm at least four times in the air and then bam, slam that finger down. And wherever it lands, that's where you start. I know I've told y'all this story, but one time Chris and I decided not to buy a house by a flip of a coin when we got home because we couldn't decide and we were tired of trying to think about it. And we were like, heads we buy, tails we don't. It landed on tails. We took ourselves out of the running. Life ain't that complicated. Let's go to Christy. I'll start bringing you up and then I'll answer one more. Overeating for me is triggered by things undone, yard work not done, laundry still going. I feel like I could be okay with not everything being done, would overeat less. Is there a good course to do? Just keep, Christy or Wendy, I don't know how long you've been in the program, but you have two options. Go get that shit done. Like, there's always two options in this scenario. If that is a trigger, remove your triggers. So, if like stuff not being done, prioritize your life to where those things get done. Sometimes we just need to like fix things for ourselves. Just like I was getting coached this week because we're in a really busy season here in No BS. And my Asana board had at one point like 47 tasks staring at me, all due within the next like 2.5 weeks. And then there was also the other like, I don't know, 50 tasks or whatever was on my board. They were all due. My team was already scheduling me stuff for that's due in August, September, October, November of this year. And they were starting to put everything on my board. What was really overwhelming me seeing it all. And every day when I would go in, it was like making me think like, oh my God, I'm never going to get everything done. How am I ever going to get through all this? And I spent a lot of time like just moving things around. So I was talking to my coach this week and she said, I was like, you know, how do I stop feeling so overwhelmed? And she said, well, what do you think would help you? And I said, well, if I didn't see all those tasks where I could just see what really is in front of me for the next like 3 days, that would help. She said, all right, well, how could you do that? And I said, well, I could probably just create a column that's at the very end of my screen that I'd have to scroll to see it. I could just probably move everything over there and only have every day when I look at my board what I need to do. And then I could just move cards over. As one gets done, I move one over. So I'm only seeing what's in front of me. She's like, well, why don't you just do that? Was like, okay. So I didn't need to do any thought work at all. Now, if you need to do some thought work, because one thing you've said is, I feel like if I could be okay with not everything being done, I would overeat less. Then what I would do is I would ask myself, I'm sorry. I would ask myself, what do I make it mean when things aren't done? So if the laundry's not done or the yard work's not done, what am I making that mean? If you're making it mean I'm lazy, this doesn't look, people are going to think bad things about me, whatever that is, that's what you need to take to coaching. Because like your laundry not being done doesn't mean anything about you as a human. It means you haven't gotten to the laundry yet. Just like my task board, it was just overwhelming me because I was just seeing too much. But I wasn't looking at it thinking like, oh my God, I'm the worst person ever. I should be more ahead than this. If I had been doing that, my coach would have made sure that I realized that having a lot of things on my board doesn't mean I'm a lesser human. It means I'm busy right now. It means I need an organization structure. Means I need to pay attention to myself all day and don't be dicking around. So like every time I catch myself doing stupid shit, like, you know, scrolling TV, taking a quick TV break, grabbing my phone, checking in on things, like, nope, put it down every time I do it. Like my phone is a bad trap. So, like, I will want to check and see if there's any questions for me on the team or check the Facebook groups and stuff. And if I do that sporadically all day, I don't get a lot of work done. I'm doing a lot of busy work. If I put my phone in another room and I sit down and I do my work, and then I check Facebook and check from my team, I can fly through the answers. But if I'm just hitting it all day long, nothing really productive is getting done. So, you just have to decide Am I telling some outlandish story about things being undone? If so, I could be okay with them not getting done now. I don't need to eat over that. I could just tell myself, yeah, the yard's not done. We have a really good reason why. If the laundry's not done, do I have a good reason as to why it's not done? I need a break today. Nobody's going naked tomorrow. Who cares? Now, if you're sitting there thinking it means something terrible about you, we got to work on that. Somebody would just like to let Sue know that I raise hogs and they are raised on a strict diet. They're not out just free ball eating. There we go. That's our pork answer. People are asking about what 365 is. You don't have it yet. If you are new, you don't have 365 until you graduate into the main program. So if you joined us recently and you're in the 90-day program, you will get the 365s after. Right now, you're already getting a daily audio because you're going through the courses and we give them to you that way. We give you a daily drip of everything. 365s are once you're done with that part. There's a motivational audio that you get every day, but you get it after you get through the No BS course, emotional eating, nighttime eating, and weekend binge eating. All right, Christy, let's go. I'm gonna have you turn your camera on and ask you to unmute. Hey.
Howdy, how are you?
I'm good. What you need help with today?
Good. Well, I wrote a couple things down so I would not forget. Today we had a reception at church, and so I ate. I mean, I would say I ate to full, not to enough necessarily. I was probably at enough, and then I had another biscuit and gravy. And I know you how you are about your biscuits too. And so,
I know I'm wearing my UT orange today because the girls are in the World Series and they're
oh
so far
yeah,
undefeated.
sweet. No, I'm a major biscuit and gravy girl. But so right now I'm having some water right now because I feel like I'm maybe a little dehydrated as well. And so I'm not feeling to the point of just like, about to throw up or anything at all. But I was thinking to myself, okay, I overate today, not by much, but I did. And so is it bad? Okay, I guess my question is it bad to skip, like if you overeat? I mean, I was thinking, okay, she's just going to say, well, if you're not hungry, then it's okay to skip. But I know too that you say that, like, if you are on a certain schedule, which I'm not, but like if I was a nurse or something and like I'm not going to have a time to eat. So then I need to eat even if I'm not hungry, like at breakfast, make myself eat or something, or maybe I'm misinterpreting that. And so is it okay to have that intent to or is it does it make sense at all? I'm sorry.
Are you asking me if I overate and I'm not hungry, is it okay to wait until I'm hungry again?
Well, I would think the answer would be yes. Yes, that is.
The
But I
answer is
mean,
definitely yes, but I think that's what, I don't think you're asking me that, but I think that that is kind of what you're getting at. It's almost like, is it bad if I, let's say I overeat and, like I'm just not hungry. Is it bad if I don't eat lunch because I had too much at breakfast? Not bad. And it's not good. It literally always comes down to, don't eat again until you're hungry. Like, if you ate too much at one meal, it would make sense. A good example is when we're in Vegas, we eat brunch like at 10 o'clock in the morning, like around 10, 10:30. I don't eat again until probably 5 or 6 o'clock at night. So, because I know I'm not going to eat again until late, we're at the pool all day and I don't like eating pool food. The pool food there sucks. So I'm not going to like blow my wad on some pool food. I usually eat a bigger breakfast. So I do eat till full, and I'm just not hungry until like it is time for dinner. And that's fine. So there's like wiggle room there, but you know, the two things to realize is that it's not the end of the world that you ate past full, you ate too much at breakfast. So the best way to like have a healthy relationship with food is to just say, all right, next best decision. The next best decision is I wait until I'm hungry because I don't have any other reason why I would have to eat. Now, if you were going to tell me, well, I ate too much at breakfast, but we're not getting dinner tonight. For like, you know, I've got a colonoscopy tomorrow, so I've got to start fasting at a certain time.
Thank
I'd
God I
probably say,
don't
like,
have
well, you should go
that.
ahead and eat lunch, you know. But barring any specific reason needing to eat because of like timing or whatever, you just wait till you're hungry. Now, the second part though is to figure out why you added an extra biscuit and gravy and choose to go past
I
enough.
was thinking of
Just,
that while you were talking. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
yeah. I mean, we know biscuits and gravies are good, but adding an extra one didn't make it extra good. It literally made you have to come on a coaching call and figure shit out.
True. I wouldn't think of that at the time. I knew you were coming up. I
Right.
was going to see, but yeah. And I was thinking about that as you were talking earlier. I was like, okay, why did I eat that biscuit, last biscuit and gravy? And you know, I know you have said before. In fact, I think I listened. I was catching up on the 365s the other day, and you or yesterday, and you were talking about that the reason a lot of times that you would overeat was because you grew up like you didn't know where your next meal was going to come from. And so, you know, your mom had kind of said, okay, you better eat up now. And I thank God never had that situation, you know. Although my mom, it was kind of a you finish your plate kind of a thing. But I was trying to think and I thought, well, you know, I don't have biscuits and gravy, you know, very rarely, you know, just like steak. I very rarely have steak except for like anniversary and a birthday or something. And so it's kind of like I was thinking, okay, even though I had the taste of it in my, you know, in my body and I enjoyed that, you know, at that moment, and then having the extra one kind of, not that I was like, okay, I totally hate biscuits and gravy now, or but it was obviously just a little unsettling of like, okay, I went past the, gee, that was really, really good. And, you know, I'm content to, yeah, that was good, but now I'm feeling a little nauseous because I didn't
Yeah,
eat
so
a ton. I
why?
shouldn't, I mean, in the sense of like this good. Now I'm making
Right.
excuses,
But
but
it doesn't matter the volume, it's the reason why behind it. I think y'all get really caught up on like, well, it wasn't a binge or it wasn't like a blowout. And it's like, that's like a justification. I will just tell all of you, it feels good, but it kind of diverts us from figuring out what was really going on. So, and it's not that I don't want y'all celebrating. Like when you notice your overeats aren't as big and that kind of stuff, it is totally fine to say it. But it's almost like sometimes y'all tell me this in the energy of like, I need to make this like way better because if I don't say this, otherwise it's bad. Instead of just, I don't need to justify it because it wasn't bad at all. It just what happened. And I'm just really curious as to why I felt like, I don't when I know I don't get biscuits and gravy very often, why is more the answer instead of just grateful that I'm having biscuits and gravy, period? Like, why isn't one serving enough? And it's like really looking at that. Do you have any answer for that?
I think I just popped this in when you were talking. That I think I'm still in that I'm just used to kind of eating as my mom has this thing of like she tries to eat as fast as she can, and she's not overweight or anything like that, but she's like, I'm trying to eat fast enough before my brain figures out that I'm full, you know, or something. And she kind of jokes sometimes about that. And I think that's kind of why, you know, it's kind of like, okay, I'm gonna squeeze it in, before I, you know,
So you
realize
just
that
want to be
even though I
super
knew it at the
aware of
time.
that. Right. You just want to be super aware of that because I can't guess your mom, but I can tell you the pattern I see when people say that, especially if they don't have a weight problem and stuff, is my friend Jane has someone who's like this in her life, who's never had a weight problem, but has a very, very janky relationship with food. And she will say things like, I'm going to eat really fast so that I don't realize I'm full, because otherwise, if I just decided to eat until I was full, that would be a bad, that would be me being bad. Like, especially like your mom, that generation. I mean, we're bad to say it, but that generation, they ain't got no hope. I mean, they grew up with all the women had food rules. Like, that was browbeating them that, a woman should only eat this much and this is bad. And I think it's Jane's, I can't remember if it's her mother-in-law. It's somebody, I cannot remember who, but Jane tells me this all the time because whenever she spends time with them, she's like, ugh. She's like, I love them, but all I hear the entire time is like, well, we're, no, it's her mother. So her mother and dad, they go on these diets all the time. And then when they're on vacation, I mean, they diet, and then when they go on vacation, they eat like there's no tomorrow. And, and Jane's a binge eater. And so she's very aware of this behavior. So her parents are constantly like, don't tell anyone we're having this. We're being bad. Just constantly saying this stuff. And so Jane and I laugh about it because, like, she's a binge coach, I'm a weight coach, and like we really teach against that. So I think it's kind of like that generational thing. So you just want to be aware that you have grown up around that. And that if you think your pattern is like, oh, when I'm getting something that I deem as special, different, not going to have very often, I want to make sure I understand, eat slowly because I'm not doing anything bad. And really enjoy it because I'm going to want to stop it enough. So I deserve to enjoy every bite. And that is the like most fun way to have it. And you have to really talk to yourself about like, that is the most fun way to eat foods because it means you never have to be afraid of food again. It doesn't mean that there's really any limits to when you can have it. We only have to have limits around food when we're eating them like a crazy fucking person all the time. Just think about, and I'm not saying y'all should have limits, but just think about that is how diets are set up. It's like, well, if you eat like a crazy person, then we should take a lot of things away from you. And it's like, no, what if we just got to where we figured out why sometimes we are triggered to overeat, and if we remove all of that, where eating biscuits and gravy to enough feels so wonderful, so satisfying, feels like the best gift you ever gave yourself, means that anytime you're around a biscuit and gravy, you're not going to overeat and you're going to feel very free to enjoy it. That's the life we want. In order to get there, though, you're going to have to be very conscious of slowing your roll because you've been modeled to eat fast, as if you're trying to outrun that restriction that's put on you of, like, well, you can't have too much. And that's not what we're doing. We're literally just saying, like, no, I want to be able to eat the foods I love, and I want to do it in a way that my body doesn't feel burpy and nauseous, and where later on I'm just like, ugh, I'm not even going to want lunch now, like, all that kind of stuff.
I was
Does that make
reminded when you
sense?
said yes, no, it sounds, it makes perfect sense. And my mom, was born in 45, so she wasn't in the great, depression, but her mom was, and so, passed that on. And she tells this quick story. She tells the story that she, I think she was, can't remember what she had, like liver or something. I don't know. She loved liver, but they had liver, and she
Me
was,
too.
under 18, and she. There was like this big circular piece of fat in the middle of it. So she's, like just perfectly just cutting out that piece of fat and stuff. And she goes to start to take it out and put it to the side. And she looks up and her dad's just glaring at her. And she just pops that in her mouth because she was like, she knew her dad was going to be like, you're eating that too. And she was like, it was the grossest thing.
Yeah.
But thankfully, my parents never made me do that. Okay, second question. I've got three questions. So, I've and everybody that's seen me on here before could probably say, I know what you're going to talk about next, sleep. That of the four is the thing that I am having. Water, I'm doing great on. Well, except for this morning, sleep. I mean, eating to enough and eating when I'm hungry, whatever is usually okay. But the sleep thing, I mean, I think it's because, I had, well, now I have all teenagers or young adults that are all still at home, five. And not that I have to stay up for all of them or anything like that, but I've just been used to kind of, and we homeschooled, so we were used to kind of being night owls and, and stuff like that. And I don't know what it is. I mean, MJ, I was talking to her last week, on the call, and she was just like, just back it up a little bit, 15-minute increments or whatever. And I just don't know. And I know you said you don't have to always want it. It doesn't have to be, like that you're just jumping for joy to do whatever. It's just that, what did you call it?
Willingness.
The willingness. Thank you. The willingness to do
You need to be
it.
willing to do it. Well, first of all, what is the problem with your sleep? You need to go to bed earlier? Like when you say I have a problem with sleep, what do you mean? Because that could be like a
I mean,
thousand things.
average I go to sleep is like 2 in the morning. 2 in the morning. The other morning, like about a week
Go to bed
ago,
at 2.
the week ago, it was like I stayed up, and then when I wanted to go to sleep, I was like read to kind of get tired, and I wanted to go to sleep, and then of course I couldn't go to sleep, and then I ended up being up all night, and and I caught up a little bit during the day, but I mean, obviously, I feel like my circadian rhythm is just like totally like, and I don't work. I mean, I'm a home, I
It
mean, I'm a
could
stay-at-home mom. Do what? I'm sorry.
be off. Your circadian rhythm could be off. Are you just needing some tips or
Yeah,
like do
I
you
don't know
want what it
what.
like if you could wave your magic wand, what would be your sleep answer? You would go to bed when and wake up when?
Well, I definitely want to get, what is it, 7 to 9 hours is the recommendation. Is that right? Is that generally what it is? Yeah.
Let's start
So
with 7. If you're not good at getting 7, let's just at least target
I mean, because
7.
I would say I average like 4 to 5, which obviously that stinks.
Okay.
And usually I'm
Well,
like taking
let
a
me ask
nap
you this
during the
though.
day. I'm sorry, what?
Okay.
Go ahead. What do
Well,
you think?
so 7 to 9 is like the recommendation, but it's not a hard and fast rule. There are some people in the world that can get away with less. There are some people that need a lot more. Like my
Yeah, I
husband
can
needs
get
about
away with
10,
less.
and I'm not
That's
joking.
definitely not me.
Chris is like a 10-hour dude. So you can or cannot get away with less.
Oh no, I feel like, because I'm like, if I don't have enough, I mean, I'm like sluggish and, I'm, yeah. No, I definitely know
Well,
that I need to get enough sleep.
the first thing to do would be to target 7. So let me ask you this. Let's say you do go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you try to sleep 7, or do you make yourself, do you have to still
If
get
I'm
up at a
able
certain
to,
time?
if I'm able to, yeah. Because, like
Okay.
I said, my kitten,
So
especially
my
with the
first
summer, no chance.
recommendation is if you're, my first recommendation is always, even if you go to bed really late, if you know you need 7, then if you don't have to set an alarm in the morning, you can just get up, then just let yourself sleep until you can. If that's an option, not everybody has that option. But if I did wave my magic wand and you could have 7 hours of sleep, ideally, when would you love to say, like, this is my bedtime and my wake up time? Like if you got to pick and we could just turn the faucet on tomorrow.
Ideally, well, realistically, I don't wouldn't see myself going to bed before 10. I mean, there's times I've gone like when I've had a really crappy, sleep schedule, and then all of a sudden my body kind of really catches up and it's like, okay, you're going to bed, come hell or high water, and I'm like falling asleep in my, mashed potatoes or something. And so realistically, probably 11 o'clock. Because I mean, again, I mean, I could
Okay.
set my alarm for 9 o'clock to go to bed, but I mean, I know that's not realistic for me. I don't see myself doing that. For one, it would be too
So
loud in the house. I
basically,
wouldn't be able to anyway.
11 p.m. to 6 a.m. would get you 7 hours.
Yes, I'm
Am I
sorry.
doing
You
my math
sleep.
right?
Yes, 7 hours.
You're fine. I'm just making sure I'm doing my math right. Okay.
Yes.
So we just had to figure out a way to get you to sleep at 11 o'clock at night. What stops you right now from going to bed at 11? Other than not wanting to.
It's not my kids. I mean, they're still up, but I mean, I'm fine. I don't need to stay up for them or anything like that. Probably scrolling on my phone. Just, I just like I will watch old shows and stuff, and I just kind of get on a roll, I think. I don't know.
Have
I
you
mean, it's
tried
probably
setting in a have you tried there are do you
like a
have an
half hour
iPhone?
before or something like that. Oh, yeah.
No,
What I
like, do
usually
you have an
do is
iPhone?
Yeah. Isn't there a way that you can do it like where it's like totally like you're not getting back into the
Yes.
phone or something? Yeah. I need to look
I
that
was
up.
just going to say that what I would do is I would go to Google today
Okay.
and ask it, like, I have an iPhone. You need to tell me how to make my phone shut down at 11 o'clock at night
Yeah.
and make it turn itself off. Now,
Power
you're
before
not
or
going to
at
like it.
night.
Say what?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to override you. So maybe even a half hour before I want to go to sleep, because I've heard that you're supposed to kind of like have a half
I
hour, it
right.
doesn't matter.
Let's start off baby steps. Let's
Okay.
just start off with 11 o'clock. Like, and then you have to lay there bored.
Okay.
All right. And we'll count as long as you're just laying around with nothing to do. That counts towards sleep. So if you're just in bed, it's called latency sleep. So that would be my first recommendation, is to just pull the plug on the thing keeping you awake. Because I'm going to tell you right now, unless you pull the plug, it's going to be really hard for you to be engaged in getting the dopamine of watching television and for you to be like, and now I'm going to be enlightened and I'm going to like turn off my phone, because you
Yeah.
haven't been able to do that. So it's probably not going to happen. So we kind of just have to like take it away, like as if you were a child, we're taking the toy away so that you're not playing with it in bed. It's just like if you put your kids to bed with nothing to do, they're likely to fall asleep. If you give them all their toys that they play with all day long, they're going to be up stimulated. So we kind of have to do the same thing for you. You just got to treat yourself more like a child of like,
Yeah.
all right, because our brain is childlike. It's just like sitting there getting fed all kinds of stuff. And then you just have to remind yourself when it goes off, like, I want to do this for myself. I'm going to have to train myself to go to bed at 11 o'clock. Now, do you have a hard time falling asleep if you don't have distractions, or do you just fall asleep?
I'm able to, well, if I go to sleep at, my husband snores, but he does have a CPAP machine, but it doesn't like totally, it, well, when he first goes to sleep, he's snoring pretty loud. And so it doesn't mask it as well, but I'm usually like close, plug in my ears or something like that. So sometimes that can take a little bit, but no, generally I don't have a problem. And usually, except when I have
Okay.
to go pee, usually I don't, when I can go back to sleep, I don't have trouble staying asleep. So,
Okay. I think we just need to simply try then. Let's you Google search. There will be instructions. If you use ChatGPT, ChatGPT can tell you how to do it. Just say, I need to get my phone to where I can't access anything after 11 o'clock at night that's entertaining. I need my phone to shut down and go into a different, I think it has different modes it can go into, where it takes
yeah.
away the things that you would entertain yourself with, and it doesn't start back up until 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then
So
that, let's try that.
the alarm would still go off even.
Yeah. It has a way to like set itself where you just can't play with it. Like
Right.
you can't get to social media and you can't get to YouTube and like things like that. For the rest of you, there is a y'all are going to get some emails about it. There's a new sleeping product that I'm using right now called Sleep Breakthrough and Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. I don't think you need it, but I take it every night. I go to bed a lot earlier than you. I go to bed about 8 o'clock at night, so I take all of mine around 7, 7:30, and that has made me get the best sleep. I used to use something else, and I started using this a few months ago from a friend's recommendation. And I started noticing on my sleep app, I have an Oura ring. All this, I was never able to get deep sleep. And now all of a sudden, I'm getting deep sleep like every night. I got like a 91 on my sleep score yesterday and a
Wow.
95 readiness. I've never had that high of a score on either one. So I was just like, screenshot, and I sent it to all my friends. I was like, oh my God. Look at me. I beat everybody today. Like I'm almost in the exceptional category too on my resilience. So, but
Congratulations.
thank you. I'm so competitive. I swear to God, on the dumbest stuff. Like I'm always sending Jane pictures of my resilience score, like, and where are you at? But for the rest of you, we're going to be sending some emails. If you're interested in that, if you will email support y'all, if you go to the website, go to the blue question mark, write into support. Just tell them I want information on Corinne's sleep stuff. They will send you the links because I like it so much that you'll get a 15% discount on it. I'm just telling everybody else. I don't think you need it. 15% discount, and you get a bottle of their mass enzymes, which is it's a pill you take after you eat a meal that will help you break down and get more of the protein out of your food. So, but anyway, we're going to send some more information about that later this month. But
Okay,
for
so
you, I just think you need to like strip out this app, like get to where you can't play with your phone at night.
So you're saying, I know you said I don't need it, but you're saying that one helps people, like specifically what?
So the sleep breakthrough is what will help you like get drowsy and fall
Well,
asleep
that's what I
faster
was going to
and stay
say.
asleep.
I was wondering if that might help if because I was taking, I do have some sleep, like a generic of Unisom or something like that. And I was doing that. I know you're not supposed to do it on like a regular basis or anything, but I was probably doing it for a couple weeks, not every single night, but I would do it kind of like, okay, I am making, and I take a couple, which was okay. And so when you were talking there, I thought, well, maybe that might help to, of course, I know you can take, what is it, melatonin or something too, which is
Well, the
made
sleep
from.
remedy has like a mix of like tryptophan. I think there's a little like a very small amount of you don't want to take too much melatonin or you get addicted to it. But this has like the lowest, like a low level so that that doesn't happen. The other part of that is if you take it in combination with the magnesium. All right, let me just give you all the education. So magnesium, there's a lot of different forms of it, and there's like seven different kinds. And most of the stuff that you buy, like if you go to Amazon or you go to the store and you're buying magnesium, you're really getting just one or two of the forms. And then as you get older, like especially after you pass your 40s, we don't get enough magnesium anymore. It's very hard for our body to have the levels that it needs because of our hormones changing. And so when you add the magnesium in, number one, you'll have better poops. I promise you, they'll be glorious. Number two, magnesium helps balance out some moods. So like I take mine at night, comboed up with magnesium has a side effect of relaxing you because it's good for your nervous system. It does a lot of different things for your body, but it's also really good for the nervous system. So people who run anxious and whatnot, having magnesium topped off in their body instead of running low could make a difference in them. So I take mine at night because I have a hard time unwinding. So I take my magnesium in the evenings when I know that when it's time to go to sleep, my mind naturally wants to perk up and think about everything I need to do tomorrow. It's like, okay, you had all day to think about this. We do not think about this at 8 o'clock at night. And so I take the sleep breakthrough and the magnesium breakthrough together. They have a powder form, art cherry, that's good. But for some of you may want to take it during the day if you notice you have periods where you get really stressed and anxious. There are people that take it throughout the day that say it makes a difference in those things. So, but just go to the blue question mark on the website and just tell Help Scout to send you the links and you can read all about it and see. I don't think it would hurt. The other thing is they have a 365-day guarantee. So like, let's say you order it and you're like, this didn't do shit for me. I'm not going to sleep. I don't notice anything. You can get your money back. So, and they're really good about doing that. So, but they sent me something. I don't remember what it was. It's like one thing that I ordered and I didn't notice anything. And I just told them like, I wanted my money back on that. But everything else I've been taking has been great. And I like them because they're really pure. I'm just a big anal wad when it comes to what I take. Like we only take Thorn creatine, and Chris will only take certain Thorn vitamins, and we only take bioptimizers on these things. I don't know. There's a lot of trash supplements out there that have fillers and lead, like different things like that. Like a lot of creatine, y'all. You should really make sure that you're buying a top quality one, like if you're going to take creatine, because a lot of creatines that are cheaper are made in China and there's like legit lead in them. Like they're just full of fillers. You're not really getting all the creatine you think you are. And so if you're going to be taking that stuff, you might as well be taking stuff that's really going to work. But do the phone first, and then if you want to order this stuff, and then
Okay.
like say, all right, for 30 days, I am not going to let my phone be in charge after 11 o'clock at night. And maybe try these and see if it gets you just on a rhythm. And then once you get on a rhythm, you could even back off and say, like, well, let me try. If I don't, maybe I won't need the supplements at all. We'll see. But it could at least bridge the gap. The other thing I was going to suggest is one thing that's really good about resetting your circadian rhythm is if when you get up in the morning, if you can look, like, get into the sunlight for like 10 minutes first thing in the morning. So if you normally drink your coffee, like just sitting in the dark living room or whatever, even if you can go outside on a porch, if you can take a walk, or at the very least, I'm not a morning riser to just immediately go outside and do things. I take my coffee, I go to my office because the sun's coming in that direction, and I drink my coffee for 5 minutes where the sun's coming in. The sun, when you are getting sun first thing in the morning, it's a natural resetter of your circadian rhythm. It starts making you want to get up at that time, which affects the want of the time to go to bed. As long as you're not getting super distracted, you know.
Well, that is really a good
Can you
idea.
tell I
Yeah.
sleep with sleep? I love sleep, like love
Yeah.
sleep, and I have studied it so much because when mine started going to shit a couple of years ago, I was like, oh hell no, this is not happening to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how 2-year-olds hate sleep, but we relish it. So when you said that about the getting out, in the sunshine, I realized at the end of the day sometimes it's like I never stepped, maybe to go get the mail, but I never stepped outside. I'd go places in my car, but then go immediately, and it was like,
Yeah.
duh, of course now we live in Arkansas and it's a million
Yeah.
degrees already, but bring a fan out there and sit. So no, that's a great idea. And when you said that about, oh shoot, what did you just say? About shutting, how your brain has a hard time shutting down. I mean, yes, it's not too hard for me to get to sleep, well, once I'm not disturbed by my husband snoring, but sometimes because of that, and I know they say, put a piece of paper by your bed and write those things that, and that kind of thing. And sometimes I do that, but it is hard for me to, but I think too, a lot of that is being on the phone because I've got so much, of that information rambling around in my head. It's like,
Yeah.
okay, I have one more
Well, and
question. I
you
don't
just
mean to
have to see
monopolize.
that.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well,
No, you go ahead and ask your question.
I have one more thing. I don't want to monopolize the whole thing here, but okay. So this is having to do with, I guess you would say it was envy or maybe FOMO, maybe not so much envy, not envy, but FOMO about, missing out with going to the camp. To go into camp. And obviously y'all are talking it up because it's getting closer and closer. And my and Beth, who the one that I found out lives not that far from me and stuff, she's going and stuff. And I'm just like, oh. And we just can't afford it. And right now, and even the video one, it's like what, 300 or two, I don't remember.
It's
And so even
$2.99, and there's like payment
$2.99. Yeah. And I
options.
thought about that. I thought maybe I could do that or whatever. But I'm just having, I guess you would say FOMO about, wanting to, be a part of it and stuff. And so I'm trying to, and I know there's a ton of stuff, obviously, that, we're paying for every month that, it's a load of
Yeah, there's only
resources.
like six or seven camps sitting there ready for you to take right now.
No, you're right. No, you're right. Yeah. So I know I have that, but there's just kind of that. Go ahead.
Well, that's normal. I mean, like, I have FOMO of people who are not going to do camp. I mean, if you think I'm like, I am terrible about driving and flying and traveling. And this year it's in Dallas. I only go to one city outside of Nashville, and that is to Las Vegas. And I am already in Dreadville because I've never been to that hotel. I've got 1,000 reasons. I mean, other than just the other normal reasons why, like, it's really hard for me. I love camp when I'm there. All the way up until camp, though, I am a nervous wreck. So I have FOMO of the people who don't have to do anything. So, The real
Because not only you have
question.
the fear, but then you're the one planning it. So you've got double trouble.
Oh yeah. Like I'm the one that's got to deliver and make, over a
Yeah.
thousand people happy. And, and that's
No
really hard to
pressure
do.
there.
Let me just tell you.
Everybody loves you.
Right.
You could
Yeah,
stand up there and
well,
read the
not
newspaper and
everybody.
everybody
Every
loves
year,
you.
somebody's
Well, maybe
not
not
loving
everybody.
Corinne.
Right.
Which I get it. Like, it's no, I already know I can't
Can't
make
please
everybody happy. I
everybody.
just do my best.
No, that's right.
But what I would do is I would think about this. Knowing I'm not going to be there, what can I do to be there for myself? Knowing that I do wish that I could go and that whatnot. Because I think a lot of times we want to like come up with happy thoughts about not being there instead of just like, I think it's normal that like you love no BS, obviously. I've coached you, like
Yes.
you're a no
A bunch
BS.
of times.
And yes, and I think it's normal to want to be there. And it's just like my brother a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, they went on a beach trip. And I pay for every year for all of us to go on one beach trip. And they went on a beach trip. And I
Yeah.
had FOMO. I was like, why didn't I get to go? Why didn't y'all invite me to your trip? Like, I love the beach, blah, blah, blah. And but they were going with a different set of friends and family that I don't even know. And so I had to like, rather than sitting there and feeling sorry for myself, because I was feeling real sorry for myself. I was really getting all up in my feels and starting to get angry that I wasn't invited. And I had to like slow my
No.
roll and just say, like, it is so normal to want to be there. You know it's going to be a good time, but what do you want? How do you want to be there for the part of you that's wishing she could be there? And that's when I started kind of like that's where you do really good work on you learn how to be your own best friend, your own best confidant, the person who can take care of you when you don't feel, great about things. So you just want to think about, like, for me, what I was telling myself was that the reason why you want to be there is because you love your brother and you do have a good time with him. And that is a wonderful reason to experience missing out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel like I was missing out if we didn't like each other and if we didn't have a good relationship and all
Yeah.
these other kinds of things. And it for me, that brought me a lot of peace to know that I feel like I'm missing out for a really good reason. Because I just couldn't see myself not wanting to be there. And so then I had to figure out like, okay, well, if I am going to want to be there, I want to make it the most lovely experience of wanting that I can.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've thought about. And then, but the other side is if you did want to just come up with some thoughts of like, this is just not my year. There are other things that I can do. Like there's ways that I can make the best of it, all that kind of stuff. But I think we just have to address that little part it's just like the only reason I really want to be there is because I do love no BS and I get a lot out of it. And it's not that it's unfair to me. It's just, I just really want to be there. Because I had to really take that level out with my brother of talking about how unfair it was. I was starting to compare, like, I take you on trips and you don't take me on trips. And it's like, this is not a tit for tat, Corinne. Like, I was just like, you take your brother on vacations because you love your family.
Yeah.
You don't take your brother on vacations because you're like sitting there with a ledger of like, and when do I get my payback? Like, that's not
Yeah.
why, like, I had to tell myself, Corinne, that's not why you do that. But it's real easy in that moment to kind of, I don't know. I just always find for me, it's really easy to slip into silly thoughts like that. And I just want to clean them up as fast as I can because they're only going to make me feel terrible and they're not even really true. So I don't
Yeah.
know. How do you
Well,
want
I
to be
think.
there for yourself?
Yeah, and I think too, as you were talking, and I was listening, but I was thinking at the same time. Because my husband just walked in, he walked out now, but he walked in, he heard me say, and I'm kind of gave me this look like, why are you telling the world that we can't have you go, whatever. But one of the reasons is because we've got a child in college, totally understandable. But I One of the first times I ever coached with you when we were still in the 90 day was a saying about how I felt like, my husband holds the purse strings, because I've got a business myself, but it's kind of hard to get off the ground kind of a thing. And so he's making most of the money. And so I think there's a little bit resentment there. when I've mentioned it to him, he listened to me about it for a little bit, but he was, again, thinks of it as that I'm trying to buy friends, that kind of thing. So I think there's some resentment there. I love my husband, but I think there's some resentment there. But at the same time, I don't want him to be stressed, with finances and stuff like that. So plus, I just thought about it. I thought, I'm going to be praying for, and I don't know if everybody's a praying person, but I'm going to be praying. Even if you don't pray, I'm praying for you. Those of you that are going to be there, that there will be a lot of inspiration and a lot of revelation and stuff like that. And I'm just thinking, okay, the person that's taking my spot, I'm going to, I don't know who that is, but I'm specifically praying for that person. And so that's helping. Just now, I just thought about that. So I think that will really, help. Because I know there's a limit. I mean, I don't think it's all filled up yet all the way, but there's a limit of how many people can go. And so I'm just thinking, okay, I'm letting my, my spot for somebody that does need it this year and stuff. So that does help. That does help.
I always like to think of it this way. Tell yourself anything you need to make yourself feel better, because anything you tell yourself is just a version of some truth. I mean, we're making all this stuff up as we go anyway. I mean, it's just as easy to tell ourselves something that feels true, that feels like shit, just as easy as it is to tell ourselves something that's true, that feels really warm and compassionate and understanding and brings us peace and, relief, whatever it is that we want. So I just like, if we're making most of this crap up anyway, we might as well make up the best crap. For the resentment thing, really work on that. I get when I think you said your husband said you're trying to buy friends or something like that. I don't know. You said it so fast I couldn't like get
Yeah,
it.
I'm sorry. I talk a mile a minute.
No, it's okay. Work on that because that's his opinion. And you don't need to be resentful of his opinion. He gets to be wrong. I always love that statement that very often, like he's got a brain just like you. In his brain, he's trying to justify why you shouldn't go. One reason is the finances, but it brings him some type of relief to think like, well, it's also for this is a more noble reason. I don't want her to think we're broke or that we're strapped or that like I can't provide. So he throws out this rando reason like, well, let's not buy friends, whatever it is. For him, he's thinking about his own feelings. We all do that. Every human does that. We prioritize our own humans in our own mind with our own reasoning. We don't like it's really hard for most humans to take somebody else's perspective first. That's why we all stay in trouble all the times with ourselves, because we're always quick to have our perspective first, right? If we could slow that down and like everything that we did, we like, I don't know, took in the totality of everyone and then weighed things out compassionately and carefully, I wouldn't even have a business. None of y'all would be eating so much. So I would just like tell myself, like, he's justifying this in his mind the best way he knows how, so that it doesn't feel like he's probably taking something away from me or having to tell me no on something I really want. And he doesn't understand, like, that reason is not true. I'm not trying to buy friends. These are actually my friends. Like, this community is very real to me because I'm in the community. He's never in it. There's no way for him to have your perspective at all. And that's what I would do, just so that you don't have, I just wouldn't want you sitting around with resentment. That just feels like ass for you. And I don't want you to feel like ass.
No, I totally agree. Well, I don't know how many people were able to relate to any of my three questions, but this has been incredibly helpful, Corinne. I really appreciate it so
You're
much.
very welcome.
You are
All
such a
right.
blessing, and so I appreciate you.
I
Bye.
appreciate you. Well, thank you. You came loaded. I like it when somebody comes with all the questions.
Well,
Bye.
I wrote down my questions so I wouldn't forget,
That's
because I can
right.
go off on tangents, as you know. All right.
Well, thank
Bye.
you again. Bye-bye. All right, let me grab the last couple of questions that we have in here. Let's see. Have you tried bone broth? I don't drink bone broth. I don't like drinking shit. I just don't. I mean, I drink my water. That's about it. I don't hardly even drink protein shakes because I like to chew my food. That's my big thing. Supposed to be healthy with protein. I mix in a bunch of stuff. I'm not gonna read it all off because it's supposed to be a metabolism booster. I'm gonna tell you right now, a lot of the stuff y'all like, if you want to drink this because it makes you feel good and you like the taste of it, great. But if bone broth with a bunch of shit in it made people's metabolism go skyrocket and help them lose weight, then it would be mass marketed. It is one of those things that I guarantee you does not make you lose weight and it does not boost your metabolism. The best way to boost your metabolism is to eat regularly. Don't starve yourself and don't overeat and to move. Like our metabolisms, they don't suffer near as much as that it's always been told. That is a story that got very much propagandized by diet marketing companies. I don't even remember when it was when they first started coming out with it, but it played well in marketing studies that your metabolism was affected and things like that to get you onto another diet that had a different package and a different presentation. So I'm going to tell all of you, unless you go to a doctor and you have significant testing done where they can say, yes, your metabolism is literally in the toilet, and here are the blood markers that show all of it, the vast majority of people, that is not their problem. Now, I will say this, lift some weights, y'all. The biggest thing is not so much metabolism. Most people, what the problem is that we don't lift any weights. And so when we're trying to lose weight and as we age, losing weight is going to strip muscle unless you are actively trying to prevent it, which means you have to be lifting some weights and getting enough protein. But lifting weights is one of the big stimulants, okay? If you're not doing that when you're trying to lose weight, the body does not prioritize fat first. It really thinks fat is one of those things you need in order to survive. It tries to keep it. That's why, like, when you watch, if you watch like Survivor and stuff, or like Alone, when they get really emaciated looking, they do lose fat, but you notice that they start looking really gaunt. They're losing muscle at a rapid pace, at a rapid pace, because like they will hang on to the fat more than they will hang on to the muscle. So our body will prioritize muscle over fat first, unless we are actively trying to prevent it. When you lose weight, you're going to lose a degree of muscle no matter what you do, no matter how hard you work at it. You just want to get the percentages down. You can't get it to zero, though. That's just, it's physiologically impossible unless you're pumping steroids like your Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the 70s and 80s. Okay. Now, if you want to do the best thing you can for your metabolism, stop your emotional eating, get your eating very normalized, use the Healthify course, and your metabolism will be just fine. Now, if you want to drink all that and you really like it and whatnot, it's not going to harm you. I just don't want you sitting there thinking that you've got a special concoction that you read somewhere on the internet. I'm sure there's Pinterest posts about it. It's probably been in a book, it's probably been podcasts about it and whatnot. That stuff is usually like, especially the bone broth people, all came through originally the keto books and the CrossFit world. And there were a lot of cookbooks and there was a lot of bone broths. Like go to Whole Foods, go to the grocery store. There are certain branded diets that now also sell bone broth. It's a big marketing machine. Okay. I just don't want y'all getting fooled by stuff like that. But if you like it and it's, I'm not going to say there's no health benefits because everything you said you put in there, it's very healthy stuff. It's great. I just don't think it's going to be like the mat. Like, there's no way you're going to drink a bone broth drink and that's going to offset emotional eating. There's no way you're going to drink a bone broth drink and then, like, somehow your metabolism skyrockets to where you can eat whatever you want. That's not going to happen. I have my whys for losing weight to stay healthy, be mobile, active, able to live independently, feel and look sexy. Wear the clothes I want to wear are a few. Man, these are great. I am working on my action wise. Would you talk about finding your action wise? For example, waiting for hunger, stopping enough. Yeah, I'm going to wait for hunger because I'm sick and tired of weighing in every Friday and seeing that scale not go down. I'm gonna stop at enough because when I eat past enough, I feel guilty as fuck. I burp all the time. I don't sleep as good. Like, that's examples of action wise. Like, and I, like, one of my big ones for waiting for hunger was I wanna wait for hunger because I don't wanna spend the rest of my life eating because I feel bad, eating because I'm bored, eating because I'm upset. I wanna figure out how to. In those moments, be there for myself because when I'm eating, I can't be there for myself. Food has to be there for me. And I just wanted a better life. Like, I just knew the answer to being happier was to learn how to know what's making me angry and make sure that I was angry for a legit reason. You know, if I was bored, like for me, when I was losing weight, y'all, I was really bored with my life, very bored with it. I did not like being a stay-at-home mom. I was not cut out for it. Had I not stopped emotionally eating, I would not have figured out that what I really wanted to do was start a business. Y'all are here because I gave up boredom eating. And when I would sit there and have to examine my life and realize I'm not cut out to be a stay-at-home mom, I'm meant to work and I want to work for myself and I want to help women lose weight. Had I not cut out that emotional eating, I would have never figured out how to help all of you. That is the power of working on your emotional eating. You never know what you're going to solve in your life when you stop eating over it, that's going to radically change everything else. That one decision for me has radically changed a lot of people's lives. All because I decided I was not going to be sitting around eating because I was bored, I was going to sit around and figure out what I wanted to do with my life and figure out a brave way to get there. I'd never started a business. I didn't know shit about that junk. Not one lick. It was very scary. I had a lot of like, who do you think you are? You'll never be able to do this on your own, all that kind of stuff. And had I not stopped emotionally eating so I could figure out how to become somebody who did scary things and how to do things that I didn't think I was cut out for and stuff like that, my life wouldn't have changed. Your life wouldn't have changed. You wouldn't be sitting here right now even listening to me had it not been for me deciding I'm going to learn how to eat when I'm hungry instead of eating when I feel bad. Regarding your task assignment board, is this a program you use? Yeah, it's called Asana. You can look it up on the internet. I'm trying to find something like that for our management team, and it's really stressing me out because they all have different levels of technical capabilities. They aren't saving on the document I created and creating their own. We use Asana for everything, Sarah. There's other ones out there. There's something called Click. Some people use ClickUp and stuff like that, but we use Asana, and that's where all of our project management happens. So, like when we start a project, this is where we hand everything off, do all that kind of stuff. We also just have like standard operating procedures, and when people aren't following them, we say like we first ask them like, okay. Looks like you didn't do this way. Can you tell me why? And it's like, well, I didn't check. It's like, okay, well, you need to check. And do you think you can do that? They usually say yes. I'm like, okay, I don't anticipate us having to have this conversation again. Then if they do it again, I immediately go back and say, like, okay, hey, we have a procedure for this. Did you follow it? No, you need to tell me why, because we talked about it on this date and it's causing these problems. So now do you think you could do that? Like, that's how I handle it. But yeah, Asana is really good for like task handoffs and things like that. They have great training videos too. We just all went through the Asana training videos, and that's how we learned how to use it. I've signed up for an interest call for private coaching. I am in maintenance and 6 months into a global executive role at work. It demands 70-hour weeks, 3 times a month travel. While I'm kicking ass at work, I'm having a really difficult time regulating my nervous system and it's impacting my sleep, blood sugar, hormones. My doctor's very concerned about my stress levels and undereating. It's a cycle. I'm having a tough time breaking out, but private coaching would really help that. You really need somebody to talk to help you not only take care of yourself, but to take care of your nervous system. And it's going to be managing your mind. When you're in a high stress job like that, it always comes down to managing your mind. There's going to be a lot going on there. Like, I get you as someone who, has a restaurant and two other com and two companies. You really want someone who can help you keep your mind managed, to check in with you and talk to you and take care of you while you're taking care of all of this. Okay. I have to get out of here because I think we have another call. Let me just make sure. Hang on, let me see. I don't want to like blow out of here and we don't really have another call. Oh no, we don't. All right, let me just answer the last few questions. We're just gonna run over a little bit. Sorry, y'all. My life continues to expand so much beyond weight loss, and it's so fun thinking about it and scary. I'm working on my voice so that I can do what I'm here to do in this world. I love watching you coach and all that you've built. Thank you so much for all your help and everything that you have shown us that we can do no matter what. I love expansion. It's an incredible piece of my journey. I've lost 127 pounds, but I've gained so much more than that I ever thought possible. Oh, this is just a thank you, Corinne. You're welcome. I'll take that, Liz. Thank you. Oh, I was going to preview July. Are you going to tell us what? That's the only two questions left. Okay, good. All right. So I have forever wanted us to have, number one, a weight tracker. All right. Now, my dreams are small. I'm married to a technical guy, and I'm like, I don't understand how we don't have a weight tracker. So Chris and I, we were in Vegas a few weeks ago. This was in March. And I was like, we're doing it this year. We're going to get this weight tracker. Like, what do we need to do? And Logan's been working on one. Okay. And then I said, don't want them to just input their weight. Like, we really need something for like our habit tracker. Like, what if we had something where they could type in like what they want to eat for the day, and they can tell if they can put in there, I stopped it enough. I ate when I was hungry. Like, they had this thing where they could just go into their phone and they could like do all the checking and all the stuff off. And then it would, you know, track things for them and give them reports, like not big time reports, but also like, you know, tell you what's going on. And it would be like something that would like prompt you to weigh in and whatnot. So we wireframed it, which is a fancy word of saying Corinne sat for 4 hours at a restaurant with earbuds in, listening to one song over and over again. One more rep. If you want to know what the song is, just look it up on Spotify. And Chris and them said it'll be ready to release in July, July 1st. And you will be able to log in, and it will be a tracker for you. And we will be able to see your, like on our end, we will be able to see what's working and what's not working for you. It is going to be glorious and amazing. Now, I just want to say it is our version one, but I am so excited for y'all to have it. I wish I had pictures of it. I don't have pictures just yet, but it will kick off with you will be able to say, like, this is the day I want to weigh in. This is my starting weight. For all of you that have been here, like Liz, who's been here 127 pounds, you'll be able to put your original starting weight in, your current weight, and then you'll be able to weigh in. You can weigh in as much as you want, but you will pick a day that will be like your weigh-in day. You will not have to weigh in on Fridays. And it will tell you how you'll be able to set a goal. It will have like micro goals and stuff. And then every single day, you will have something where you will be able to say, like, track what you ate. So you can either type it all in at the beginning of the day if you want to plan ahead. If you want to start with like, no, I just want to like actually be tracking what I'm eating. You'll be able to track your hunger, your enough, your sleep, your water, your self-care. There's a few questions that I'll ask you because I've designed it with a few basic questions to make sure that you are like moving in the right direction, identifying things that you need. I believe that there's even a thing on there that will say like I would like a coach, like I would like to ask a question to a coach. It will automatically take you to ask coaches to get that done, all kinds of stuff. And you will have like a record of what's going on. So you don't have to do the manual keeping of your records anymore. You will just complete each day, and it will give you streaks, like, you know, congratulations, you have logged food for this many days. And there's all kinds of things coming out. So version one will be releasing on July 1st. It is my birthday gift from Chris and to all of you. So I'm super excited. The only reason it won't come out July 1st is if it's for some reason the tech blows up. But right now, I think it's going to work. I've already seen it on the computer. Like, it's a functional thing so far. So I think we're going to have it. And we got some other exciting things happening in July around it. So we are very excited. Will it be shareable like for accountability partners? Not the first. Hey, that says, oh no, it says Connie's laptop. I thought it said Corinne's laptop. Not the first version. But what we will be doing is after we roll it out and you all use the shit out of it. Now, I have to believe there's prizes involved the first month for people who use the shit out of it. We'll be taking recommendations because once the original version is built, adding bells and whistles is really easy. So, but we have to get that first version going and see what all we need to work on. But I think y'all are going to love it. This has been a dream of mine. I have wanted something like this forever. And Chris and Logan and my niece Lexi and a guy named Ian who lives in South Africa. He is our contractor. Let's not forget Ian. They've been working around the clock on it. So I'm very proud of them for making this happen for us. So that's the big surprise. All right. That is it for the day. I got to go record three podcasts. So I will talk to y'all next week. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.